This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, May 31st. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky will discuss the efforts in Springfield to bring down electric rates with the looming end of Illinois' legislative session. And AM 580's Mike Sola has a look at the forecast for the region. But first, today's news. Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower says the benefits of adding a riverboat casino outweigh the likely opposition to the idea. The mayor has spent about 6 weeks gauging opinions through local officials, as well as business and religious leaders. And community input is the purpose of a special city council meeting scheduled for tonight. Eisenhower says he wanted to gauge support on gambling through a grassroots effort.
We know not everyone's in favor of it. We know not everyone is in favor of gaming. But we also can't turn our back on the economic development opportunities that a gaming license would bring to Danville, with the number of jobs that it would bring, anywhere from a direct number of 600 to 750, and then an additional 1,000 jobs in ancillary positions.
Eisenhower says the gaming license would also generate about $13 million for local taxing bodies. The mayor has also lobbied lawmakers in Springfield with hopes they may pursue a revenue plan that contains gaming. He admits it's a long shot, but says lawmakers have yet to reject a downstate gambling license as a revenue plan. The talks of a gambling bill in an Illinois Senate committee last night included no mention of Danville. Tonight's Danville City Council meeting begins at 6 in the municipal building. It's the last scheduled day of the Illinois legislature's spring session. If Democrats fail to get a budget deal by the end of the day, Republican votes will be needed to pass a budget, and that could lead to a long overtime session. Last night, the House approved its version of a budget with more money for schools, but only small increases in other areas. There's no guarantee it will wind up as the state spending plan. Much of the new revenue would come from ending a variety of business tax breaks. The plan moves to the Illinois Senate, where it's unclear if the leadership will give it consideration. House Democrat Bob Malaro of Chicago says his Senate colleagues have a reason to vote for it.
Hopefully they'll say, we'll vote on this only on the auspices that we could come back and get it done right, just to keep the Republicans out, because they know that if the Republican gets in, they'll never even get close to this, and they'll never get close to any spending.
Malaro says Democrats could pass what's being called a low-growth budget and reconvene later to deal with major issues like expanding health coverage. Whatever action the Senate takes today will determine the next move. There's also no indication Governor Rod Blagojevich will support less than he's proposed, such as universal health care. Champaign and Champaign County officials cut the ribbon on the first phase of improvements to Curtis Road yesterday. The improvements from 2 lanes to 5 lanes will enable Curtis Road to handle the expected increase in traffic from the Curtis Road I-57 interchange now under construction. Champaign City Manager Steve Carter says they expect the interchange to bring new development to Southwest Champaign.
We've had contact from several developers who are interested in developing around the interchange, as you would expect. This is far enough away from the North Prospect area that there really is quite a bit of interest in building. There's probably some folks who are trying to purchase the property and in early stages of planning for development.
Carter says the city is conducting a land use study to see what sort of development is best for the new interchange. He says the Champaign City Council will discuss the issue this summer. The first phase of Curtis Road improvements runs from the Duncan Road intersection east to near Barkstall School. City officials say future phases will improve Curtis Road east to U.S. Route 45. Meanwhile, the new interchange will fill the gap in Curtis Road between Duncan and Staley Roads. A 38-year-old man was charged yesterday in last week's holdup of the ICG Credit Union in Champaign. Joseph L. Williams of Champaign was arrested the day after the daytime armed robbery on an unrelated warrant. According to Champaign police, detectives later determined they had probable cause to suspect Williams of the robbery in which two tellers were tied up. Williams was charged yesterday in federal court with armed robbery of a credit union. He remains in federal custody. Prosecutors have rested their case against former Hollinger CEO Conrad Black. He and three others are charged with stealing millions of dollars from shareholders, mainly through the sales of Hollinger's newspaper holdings. The company owned hundreds of publications, including the Chicago Sun-Times. Diantha Parker has more.
As the prosecution wrapped up yesterday, Assistant U.S. Attorney Eric Sussman announced the government was also dropping one of the 14 counts against Black, money laundering, although he didn't give a reason. The government's final witnesses included an IRS agent. She said Hollinger International underreported its income in 1999 and 2000 by a total of about $23 million. Defense attorneys say that money came from non-taxable payments that were part of newspaper sales. They've also asked for a full acquittal. They have a week to submit it to the judge in writing. But failing that, Black's lawyers say they only plan to call a few witnesses, and it doesn't look like Conrad Black will be one of them. I'm Diantha Parker.
Air National Guard officials say it could be 30 days before a preliminary report is completed on what caused an F-15 fighter jet to crash near Vincennes. The pilot safely ejected from the plane before it crashed yesterday in a farm field. The Missouri Air Guard plane was built in 1978, but its age was not suspected as a cause. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. At the start of the year, January 2nd to be precise, a decade-long state-mandated freeze on electric rates expired in Illinois. It was on that date that Ameren and Commonwealth Edison customers began paying more for power. Just over a week later, Illinois lawmakers began their spring session. The whole time, consumers throughout the state have complained their power bills are too high. Yet while they have had nearly 6 months to remedy the situation, the session is scheduled to adjourn today. And it's still unclear if people waiting for relief will get it, and if so, how? Amanda Vinicky reports.
After paying the same price for so long, it's no wonder that consumers experienced a degree of shock when they received their first electric bill with new prices. What many didn't expect, however, was just how much. While the increases were expected to be about 20-something percent for ComEd customers and as much as 50% for Ameren users, instead, some people got power bills that doubled or even tripled from what they'd paid the previous year. Though there had been discussion of the situation before then, those major hikes truly drew the ire of consumers and the lawmakers they complained to about it, says Republican Senator Frank Watson of Greenville.
This is the biggest issue in the 28, going to be 30 years at the end of this term, in my involvement in this business of politics in the Springfield. The biggest issue we've ever had.
In response to the outcry, the Illinois House held a rare special session earlier this year that ran into the wee hours of the morning. Despite pleas from Ameren and ComEd, representatives took the side of the business owners, senior citizens, and social service agencies who testified electric prices were devastating their lives. The House voted to force the utilities to roll back their prices to 2006 levels and keep them there. Since then, both chambers have lobbed back and forth various permutations of rate freeze proposals, but they've been unable to agree to the same one. Even when a majority of senators voted for a proposal to force both Ameren and ComEd to charge less for power, Senate President Emil Jones used a tricky legislative maneuver to block it. But now it appears Jones has flipped the switch from off to on. Yesterday, a Senate committee approved a proposal to roll back and freeze both utilities' rates. While it's taken months for that to happen, it's the very same measure approved by the House back in March. ComEd executive Bob McDonald says his utility remains just as opposed to it.
I have a feeling we've all been here before. This issue of rate freeze legislation has been debated in the General Assembly. That doesn't mean the message is any different. Rate freeze legislation is still a disaster for the utilities in Illinois and ultimately the customers in Illinois.
The utilities claim a rate freeze will lead to bankruptcy for them. They say that it will result in layoffs of workers, delays in projects, and possible power interruptions like rolling blackouts. Some, like Chicago Senator Ira Silverstein, say consumers deserve refunds for the increases they've paid. Others, like fellow Senate Democrat Debbie Halverson of Crete, say concerns the companies will sue to stop a freeze are a chance they can't take. The two had this exchange in a Senate hearing.
I think it's something incumbent upon us as legislators to protect our people and our citizens. So I can sleep at night knowing that I'm trying to do what I can.
I'm not sure I can sleep at night. If I go home and I say, I voted for a freeze, but now they're going to get a temporary restraining order, they're going to get an injunction, you're not going to see the freeze ever.
With many sharing similar doubts as Halverson, it's unknown whether there's still enough support for the Senate to again pass a freeze and send it to the governor's desk. Rod Blagojevich has vowed to sign such a measure if it gets there. Throughout the whole debate, select legislators have held meetings with the utilities. Later, their parent companies entered the talks. Critics say it's coercion between the subsidiaries who distribute power with their parents who generate it that caused rates to go so high in the first place. Together, Ameren Illinois, Ameren Corporation, ComEd, and Exelon have agreed to give consumers $500 million of relief over 3 years' time, targeted to help the neediest customers and those who saw the biggest hikes. Lawmakers have so far rejected the offers as too little. Many also doubt the companies are being forthright and believe they could do more to help. Belleville Democrat James Claiborne, who's led the meetings, says perhaps with the Senate's latest action, they'll be spurred to do so now.
I believe that this will continue negotiations. We'll get more rate relief.
It was winter when unusually cold weather, and then the burning furnaces that came along with it, helped fuel the public demand for a freeze on rates. The legislature may now be ready to agree on a way to give consumers the help they've wanted since then. But if they do nothing before adjourning, electric customers may see their power bills spike as they turn their air conditioners on, leading to a long, hot summer and an expensive one. And then the heat would really be on Illinois lawmakers. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Now AM580's Mike Sola has a look at the forecast.
The forecast does keep the heaviest precipitation and the most persistent precipitation across western Illinois today, where they will be mostly cloudy with scattered showers and a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds and sunshine, scattered showers, thunderstorms developing this afternoon, highs between 78 in northwestern Illinois to around 90 in northeastern Indiana. Mostly cloudy tonight, scattered showers, thunderstorms during the evening, scattered showers possible overnight, lows ranging from 57 in northwestern Illinois to 64 in the south. And then tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms mainly in the afternoon, and highs tomorrow ranging from around 80 in far western Illinois up to 88 in southeastern Indiana. Champaign-Urbana, mostly cloudy, a chance for some showers this morning, a chance for showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, the high 80, the wind out of the southwest 8 to 16 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy early tonight, partial clearing with patchy fog forming overnight, the low 65, the wind out of the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And then for tomorrow, partly sunny with chance for a few showers and thunderstorms, the high temperature 83. Mostly cloudy Friday night, a few showers and thunderstorms, the low 62. Saturday, mostly cloudy, occasional showers and thunderstorms, the high 83. More of the same on Saturday night, maybe not as cloudy, partly cloudy with thunderstorms possible mainly in the evening on Saturday night, the low 63. That cold front should push through and again bring a little bit of a cool down for Sunday. Mostly cloudy and cooler with a chance for showers and thunderstorms, the high temperature 78.
This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, May 31st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.